And I realized that during the drive up, I should have made this three sermons, but it's only one. Okay, so I got a lot here. There's a lot to get into. This is a very famous passage of scripture here in John chapter 3. And the passage that we're going to read today is where we get the term born again Christian from. If we've all heard of that, to be born again, to be a born again believer. It comes from what we're going to read. Also in our passage today, the most famous Bible verse of all time, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there's a lot here, and what I tried to do and we're going to do is we're going to preach this whole encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus, and it's 21 verses. So it's a little bit of a lengthy read for us this morning, but John chapter 3 and verse number 1. It said, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sounds thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you have not received our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you today. And God, what such a powerful passage of scripture that we've read. And God, we're so grateful that you didn't send your Son in the world to condemn the world, but that you sent him here that we might be saved. And God, I pray for each of us here. I pray that everyone here will have experienced the spiritual birth that you speak about in this passage. God, I pray we would all take the light that you've given us and use it to further our walk with you and to get through this life in a way that you would see fit. God, bless us today as we read your word. I pray you would speak to us through your word and by your Spirit. And I pray you'd be magnified and glorified in all things. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you see, as we read those 21 verses, what I meant by we could have 3 or 4 or 5 sermons out of these 21 verses. But today we're going to just look at two things. Number one, we're going to look at Nicodemus. who he was, some characteristics that he had, that I think if we would have them in our life, it'll help us. And then also the answers that Jesus gave. What we'll see in Jesus' response to Nicodemus is four great spiritual truths that we should take home with us today and use to glorify God with our lives. But first off, we look at Nicodemus. And this story, these 21 verses, is really about a man named Nicodemus' encounter with Christ. And just like Nicodemus, what this is all about, what everything is about, is about you and I and our personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. I say this all the time, that if the church fails to get people to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then we have failed. Okay? Yes, we have come together for corporate worship. Yes, we as the church do things together. But what it really is about you going home and knowing Jesus Christ. You read His Word and you pray to Him and you walk with Him, and that relationship with Him grows and you get closer to Him and you do the things that He has called and compelled us to do. And experiencing Christ is a personal pursuit. You know as well as I do, I can't go home with you throughout the week and hold your hand and get you to have this relationship. You must pursue God on your own. And I would also say to all of us that you can pursue God on your own. You can know Him. You can experience Him. You can walk with Him. Every one of us can experience God. We are without excuse in that regard. And also we see that Nicodemus was a man of a reputation. It said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. You know what we talk about when we talk about Pharisees in the church, these religious folks. And listen, the Pharisees get a horrible name as we preach and teach about them, because they had become some self-righteous religious zealots. But I think, like with most people, you understand, a lot of them didn't start off with that intent. A lot of times when we wind up in a bad place, we didn't start off saying, hey, I want to wind up in a bad place. They started off as men who wanted to know God and wanted to walk with Him, and they wound up in this bad place. But he was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. And so that weighed heavily on his decision making and the things that he did. And every one of us here today have a reputation. We've been labeled certain things. And y'all all know, I think everybody here understands, that when you get labeled something, it's really hard to overcome that. You are what people think you are, even if you try to change and even if you try to do different or better. It takes a while to overcome that. And he had this reputation as a ruler of the Jews and a Pharisee. And he was also a calculated man. I know that some people frown on this. Some people are negative about Nicodemus about this. But it says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. And a lot of people say, oh, look at Nicodemus going to Jesus under the cover of darkness. We ought to be out in the open coming to Christ. And he was very sneaky about this. Well, let's remember a couple things. Number one, Nicodemus had seen Christ. He had been intrigued. His interest had been piqued. Maybe he was doubting and didn't know what to believe. And so he needed to be calculated with that pursuit of him. If he'd have went to him in public, people would have said, what are you doing and all this? And he didn't know where he was going to shake out on this. He might have went to Christ in private and come back and said, this guy's not the guy. He's wrong. He's all these things. And I say all that to say this today. All of our struggles, and Nicodemus is struggling here, all of our doubts and our wonders and our concerns do not have to be done out in the public's eye. I don't know about you, but I have in my life had many doubts and wonders and concerns and struggles. By the way, can I tell you some maybe good news for you today? Y'all know Brother Derek still struggles. I still struggle with many, many things. And you know what? Those struggles don't have to take place in the public's eye. All right? We can wrestle with things privately. Aren't you glad that all of your doubts and your thoughts, and by the way, am I the only one here that can at times think some crazy things? Am I the only one that's ever thought something crazy or something off the wall or had this wonder or this doubt? And I'm glad that those crazy thoughts and those bad moments, those moments of struggle, I'm glad I don't have to just tell y'all all about it all the time. And Nicodemus went to Jesus by night because he knew that he had to be calculated about that. And he was also a curious man. And I think that we ought to be curious. And as we're curious, I told someone the other day, and maybe I'm wrong, I told someone I was an open-minded person, and they said, "You're the most closed-minded person I know." And I said, "Whoa, my goodness. I thought I was a little open-minded, but undoubtedly not to this person who says I'm a closed-minded, I don't know what. But I like to be curious. I like to think, and I think we as believers ought to be thinkers, and we ought to be curious, and we ought to pursue. Hey, listen, pursuing truth. And as he pursued truth, which is what Nicodemus is doing, he did two things. Number one, look at what he said in verse 2. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." He said, we know that you're a teacher that come from God. When we're curious and when we're wondering and we're thinking, it's good to start with what you know. It's good to start at the truth. It's good to start at the things that we are sure of. I'm reminded of the scripture that says the stone which was set at naught has become the chief corner. And what it was talking there about Jesus Christ is this: the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to this world and died for sinners, that's the corner of our beliefs. I'm not a building expert, but I do know at times people get a corner square and they say, "We'll build off of this. We know this corner is right." And so we'll go off the corner we know is right, and we'll go from there. And so when you start getting curious and you start wondering, start with what you know. And I think us as believers, it's good for us sometimes to go back to the very foundational things and say, "I know this is right." Just like, for instance, I know there's a God. I heard Legan Duncan, he's a Presbyterian preacher from Jackson, Mississippi. He said this, I read it last week, I thought it was good. He said the first two rules of theology, which is the study of God, is this: number one, there is a God. I think everybody would say, "Yeah, we know that." He said number two is that you are not him. I think that's also a very good rule to apply. You know, there is a God and I am not him. But I know there's a God. Let's begin there. I know Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God that came to take away our sins. I know that. Begin with what you know and go from there. But he was also a curious man. He started with what he knew, and then he did this. Look what happened in verse 4 and 9. It said, "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" The other thing he did was ask questions. And I think questions are great things. I think sometimes in our closed-mindedness. We don't want to hear questions, or we might not answer them in a complete and full way. But I think about the, you know, just today, the question is this. Like, you say, well, how do you get to heaven? That's a good question to ask. How does somebody get to heaven? And then when we think about works and grace, I think everybody here has thought about this and wrestled with this. I would imagine, in my mind, I would say good people go to heaven. But then I got to ask myself, how can these things be? And then you say, well, it's grace or it's works. And I'd say, well, how can these things be? And through asking questions, we can come to some answers. And don't be the person who just takes my word for it. Don't be the person who just assumes that this is right or this is wrong. Ask yourself questions so that we can come up with answers that are true and right. God does not mind us asking questions in a pursuit of truth. Look at the life of Christ from His earthly ministry through. When people ask Him questions pursuing truth, He answers them and helps them along. And so as we look at Nicodemus today, just some things that we can be like him. Be a calculated person in your struggles, in your thoughts, and in the things that you have difficulty with. Hey, I think we can be vulnerable, but we don't need to be too vulnerable. You know what I mean by that? People need to know that we got problems, but you don't need to let them know about all your problems. And then be a curious person. Start with what you know and then ask questions and go from there. Now, Jesus answered him, and some of the things that Jesus said are some of the most important that we find in the scriptures. He said in verse 3, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's a pretty big statement. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked a question. He said, how can this be? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And of course, that's a crazy thought. And Jesus said, no. He said, he that's born of the water, you got to be born of the water and you got to be born of the Spirit. That that's born of the flesh is flesh, and that that's born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, what he's talking about there when he said you got to be born of the water, ladies, y'all know, and men, you know, that when a woman gives birth, their water breaks. I remember our first two children. Laura's was induced. Y'all know how that works? I don't know. And so then, in other words, her water did not break naturally. And then she's pregnant with the twins. And her water breaks, you know, 6:30 in the morning. She comes in there. Derek, my water has broke. I instantly say, get in the car. We are out of here. And then and she's, I'm not ready to go. I say, you are ready to go. Get in the car. I remember asking the doctor before that. I said, look, doc, I'm a little concerned. Because they're going to just, you know, they're just going to let it go naturally. You know, we're just going to not induce and all this. And I said, we live 45 minutes from the hospital. I said, I'm just a little concerned about, you know, how this is going to play out. And he said, well, look, the babies are far enough along. If you had to deliver them, they'll be fine. I said, I am not worried about the babies. I'm worried about me. If I had to deliver babies in the car, we would have serious issues. But that's what he said. You got to be born physically. Well, guess what? Everybody here has been born physically. You've already been born. Here you are. But then he said, we got to be born spiritually. And just like the physical birth is an event that happens, you're either born or you're not. Spiritually, it is the same way. It is an event that happens in your life. And once you are spiritually born, you are born and you are born into the family of God. And the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins and that we must be given spiritual life. And how we're born spiritually is through that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. It is by grace through faith. It is that moment that we give our lives to Christ. When we pledge allegiance to Him and He becomes the King of our life. In that moment, you are a child of God. It never changes after that. You've been born. And can I say this? Even though we all are born relatively the same way, right? And just like spiritually, we're born the same way. It's by grace through faith. Everybody's birth is different. It's different. Some people are born early. Some people have difficult labor. Some it's very easy and all of this. And, you know, I remember with one of the babies, Laura was in there, and I'm a big believer. Now, ladies, don't throw nothing at me here tonight, all right? Okay, don't get angry at me. I like it back in the days when the men were in the lobby. Like, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the lobby, but now you got to be in the room with them. I didn't like any of that. But I'm in there, and her mother's in there, and my mother's in there, and I don't know. She was struggling, and Laura's crying, and her mama's crying, and my mama's crying, and I'm not crying. And I'm like, I should probably be crying, I guess, you know, but I don't know what to do. But my point is, then other times it's easy and all that. Well, just like that with salvation, there's some people that wrestle with it, and there's some people who take it very easy. I know people that got saved when they were 7. They're just as saved as I am. They just easily believed in Christ. They heard the message and they believed. Some people struggle with it and wrestle with it and all that. Some people are broken. Some people are not. And I say that to tell you this. Don't make it so your salvation experience has to be everybody's. Yes, it is by Jesus and Him alone. Yes, it's by grace through faith. But everybody doesn't respond in faith the same way. I've struggled and wrestled with salvation very, very much. It was not an easy thing for me. I have friends that said they heard the gospel and they gave their life to Christ. That simple. So, it's a spiritual birth. Now, he also says in verse 12, he said, if I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? There is a great need for spiritual life to be able to understand spiritual things. It's hard to tell someone who is spiritually dead about spiritual things because they don't understand it. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God because he can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. And we make a mistake when we try to get lost people to understand spiritual things. We gotta love them. We gotta be the light. They don't need to straighten their life up. They need to give their life to Christ and let Christ do that in their life. Now, he said this too about the spiritual. He said this in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit and spiritual things and supernatural things is like the wind. Let's think about the wind for a minute. I don't know what the wind is. I don't even know. You know, talk about my little brain. I don't understand the wind. Where does wind start? Like, where did think about wind in the world. Where did it first start blowing? Like, where did it come from? I don't know. I don't know what starts it. I don't know what causes it. Now, some of y'all might be saying, this guy, you might be an expert on the wind. I don't know. But I don't get it. And then you can't see it. You can hear it. You can see the effects of it. And God and Jesus said that's how the Spirit is. Here's the thing about the Spirit. There's a lot about it I don't understand. I don't understand why the Spirit of God moves sometimes and He doesn't. I don't understand when He comes and goes. I don't understand all that, but I can tell you this. You can feel it and you can see the effects of it. You can see Him moving on lives and in hearts and in minds and in mind and all that. I can understand that. And just because He's not here necessarily moving in a mighty way today in your life or in mine doesn't mean He won't show up tomorrow and move in a mighty way. So I don't understand all that, But I do know that it is real and we can see the effects of the supernatural spiritual world in the lives of men and women. He's moved on you before in times past and will move again. And we, I heard someone say that about, kind of talking about the Spirit of God. I think it was Rick Warren in the Purpose Driven, Church. He said, you know, we can't create waves in the ocean. They happen. What we can do is catch them and ride them. And I think that is a good comparison of God. I can't make God do anything, but I can be in the water waiting on him to move and catch it and go that way. So we see that verse 13, and it said, and no man has ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What an amazing set of scriptures there. He said, just like Moses lifted up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, and the people that had been bit by those poisonous snakes looked on it and were healed. They looked on it in faith. He said the same way Jesus Christ must be lifted up on the cross. And we look on Jesus in faith and we are healed from our sin-sick condition as we look on him in faith. And here's the scripture that tells us about the love of God. And can I tell you something good? You know, Brother Randy mentioned 2020, rough year, tough year. Surely it has been. But John 3:16 is still true today. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you know who that is? That's whosoever. That's me. That's you. That's your neighbor. That's your friend that you think won't give his life to Christ, or that loved one who's struggling. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but can have eternal and everlasting life. And can I tell you something about eternal and everlasting life? Yes, surely it is. When we die in this earth, we'll pass from this death to life. But everlasting life starts now. If I got eternal life, I got it now. It is eternal. And we can be enjoying and experiencing that everlasting life now as we give our lives to Christ. I want you to know Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we must give our lives to him. Now, there is a little bit of bad news. Verse 18 said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The bad news today is that there's a place called hell that's just as real as heaven is. And people die. I want you to know, as you look around this room, everybody here is going to die. Everybody's going to go into eternity. And you're going to one of two places. You're going to heaven or hell. And you're not going to go to hell because you was a bad person. You're not going to go to hell because you committed too much sin. You're going to go to hell if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why you'll go to hell. You know what you got to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just live your life and die without Christ and you go there. There's some quote unquote good people in hell. People that did good things. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus said, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many good things in your name? He said, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I didn't say that. Jesus did. You want to go? Here's the good news, though. Nobody's got to go to hell. All we have to do is run to and claim Jesus Christ as our Savior and trust in the work he did, not the work we do. We trust in the work he did on the cross, and we get saved and forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future, and our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you give your life to Christ. But there is a condemnation. And then lastly, it said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. You know what we have to do? Everybody here, lost people and saved people, you got to work with the light that God gives you. We just came through the Christmas time of the year. And you know what happened in a lot of people's lives? They heard about, they thought about Christ. They knew that this was a celebration of the birth of Christ. Not only that, but I think about having to look at the creation of the world. And the Bible says that Jesus is the light of every man that cometh into the world. You have to take the light that you have and run to Christ with it and give your life to Him. And here's what the Bible said. This is condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. They would rather stay in their sins. They'd rather stay in their ways. By the way, they'd rather stay in their ignorance. You know how many people I've talked to that say this? I'll ask them about their soul and about salvation, and they'll say this. Well, there's just a lot of religions out there, and I don't know if yours is right or another one's right. Nobody really knows, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And they would rather stay in their ignorance instead of pursue truth. And they think that'll be okay. They think they'll be okay because of that. Well, I'm just going to take the neutral ground. There ain't no neutral ground. Jesus said you're either for me or you're against me. There's only two ways to be. And so you got to use the light that you have. Now, let me also say this to those of us that are believers here today. A little something about darkness and light. Y'all know this time of the year, man, it gets dark at 4:45. Don't y'all all love that, man? I can't tell you how many times I've looked at Laura and say, it feels like it's 10 o'clock at night. You know, you're tired, the sun's done went down, and all those things. Our life is similar to our days in the fact that light and darkness comes and goes. The Bible talks about night seasons that we go through in our life. Life is seasonal. And in my life, there is times where it feels like God is right next to me. It feels like I could reach out and touch Him. I feel His presence and His comfort and His love. And then there's other times where it feels like I'm under a swell of darkness. I feel cold. I feel empty. I feel like I'm in a dark place. And some of you, this is again where you get vulnerable and people go, whoa, over there, it's in a dark place. Yes, we get in a dark place. It's called seasonal things. And you know what I have to do when I'm in the darkness? Because let me tell you what I can do in the darkness. In the darkness, I can stumble. In the darkness, I can justify my deeds and my thoughts and my actions and my words in the darkness. What I have to do during moments of darkness in my life is I have to make sure that I am putting light in my life. The Bible is called a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And what I have to do in dark times where you doubt. By the way, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's thought stuff like this. What's the use? Why keep going? What's the point of it all? All these things. You know what I got to do? I got to let the light of His Word shine in my life until that presence comes back into my life. Now, here's the other thing. You say, well, why does God do that? Why do we have these times of light and darkness? And by the way, go read the Psalms and tell me if the psalmist didn't have moments of light and darkness. Go read the Proverbs. Go read Solomon's book of Ecclesiastes and tell me if he didn't write that during a time of darkness. He does that because if God just come down and man was always just manifesting His presence to me, He doesn't really require a whole lot of faith. But whenever He kind of steps back, I have to trust Him through those times, right? And, you know, I kind of think about it sometimes like teaching my kids to ride a bike. I remember teaching all of them. Laura remembers distinctly me teaching them how to ride a bike. But you kind of get back behind them and you hold the bike and they all good, and then you got to let it go. And they got to learn to ride without you. And God makes it so we got to learn sometimes to ride through some rough patches so that we can come out on the other side. And so, like I warned you before we started, we really could preach about 3 or 4 sermons out of this passage. It was just a lot to maybe take on in one Sunday. But just a couple things to take home with you today about Nicodemus. Be a curious person. Start with what you know and then ask questions in the pursuit of truth. And what Jesus said to him, four great spiritual truths. Number one is you got to be spiritually born again. And the spirit is like the wind. We don't understand it all, but we see the effects of it. Jesus came into the world that we could look on him and have life. And we need to take the light that God gives us and use it and walk with it and grow closer to him. Amen. Man, it's been good to be with you today. I want to remind you as we go to be in prayer for a few folks. Remember the Nelson family. Also remember...